B-Pod Studios.
97.5, The Fanatic.
But let's go to the Comcast Business Hotline, because every day in business is a big day. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. Zach Berman from The Athletic joins us here on the John Kincaid Show for the morning after. And Zach, honestly, I feel like when we bring you on, it's almost like bringing on the coroner, because the body's getting cold and we're trying to find a cause of death. And I have a lot of theories about what's killing this team right now, but I want to hear yours.
Well, I think it starts with the play caller and the quarterback, right? You know, and I phrase it that way because I think you need to differentiate between Nick Sirianni, the head coach, and Nick Sirianni, the play caller. I think between the play calling and the play of the quarterback, it's holding this offense back. So during these next few days, Nick Sirianni needs to take a hard look, and he needs to confront the reality that the problem with the offense right now is that the quarterback is not running the offense that the play caller wants to run well. And until, you know, I know they played well against Kansas City. I know they played well against Atlanta, but the overall sample size this year suggests that they really need to fix this offense. And it starts with the person calling the plays and the person playing quarterback.
Zach, this isn't a he stinks question. It's really not. My question to you is about Jalen Hurts, and I'm asking you, what does he do well? Because if there is something, I don't think that the coach is bringing it out enough, or maybe you're of the ilk that there's not much that he can do really well.
Sure. So that's a fair question. I think as a quarterback, what he does well, first off, is his ability to run is a separator. We've seen that. He can extend plays. He can create plays with his legs. It just adds a dimension that other quarterbacks don't always bring. And then as a passer, I think that he has big play ability. He can throw off script. I think he throws off script a little too much, or I think Nick Sirianni would think a little too much, but he can create big plays with his arm off script, and he can throw downfield. And in his time here, he's made some good passes deep downfield. But I think the lack of consistency as a passer and the inefficiency overall is holding the Eagles back.
Zach, there was a report last night from Jay Glazer that said the Eagles were fielding calls on both Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz. Makes a lot of sense. Said he wouldn't be surprised if both guys, or at least one of the guys, were traded this week. Are you hearing anything on the trade front, who they're fielding calls for, and who do you expect to go?
Sure. Well, I mean, the thing with Zach Ertz is you know, we've been hearing that since the beginning of the offseason, right? And it obviously didn't happen during free agency, during the draft, during training camp. But just now, 6 weeks into the season, the Eagles aren't a 12 personnel team. Nick Sirianni doesn't want to play 12 personnel. He wants to play 11 personnel. And so they have two starting caliber tight ends, both of whom, you know, are going to be free agents here. And I think they need to pick one to go forward with. So I had always thought that would be Goddard, but you know, they haven't reached a deal either. So the question probably it comes down to price. But when you look, for instance, Arizona lost their starting tight end. You know, I think both these players could have value somewhere else. So I would not be surprised if there was a move. And, you know, Jay Glazer spot on always. I couldn't tell you where specifically, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised based on the way they want to play offense if one of those guys is moving in the next few weeks.
Zach Berman from The Athletic joining us here on the John Kincaid Show the day after the Eagles lost to the Tampa Bay Bucks. So first question is, do you have more confidence in Nick Sirianni, since you have to differentiate the two, do you have more confidence that Nick Sirianni can become a good play caller or can become a good head coach? And also, too, I just asking you is, do you think there would ever be a time where he would go to one of the four or five guys that he says is on his offensive staff that has called plays before, and let them call the plays?
Sure. Well, to the first part of the question, I probably would have more confidence in Nick Sirianni as the head coach based on kind of what I've seen, what I know. You know, and there's so much that goes into being a head coach in terms of instituting a culture, getting, you know, the players around the locker room together, you know, managing the coaching staff. There are game management parts of that, too, that are also big questions. But I think I've been more impressed with Nick Sirianni as the head coach so far than Nick Sirianni as the play caller, but it still is early on. As far as ceding play calling responsibilities, I try not to be react or overreactive to a 6-game sample size.
Well, that's our job, Zach. You do your job. We'll worry about our job.
I don't know whether there's anyone on that coaching staff who I'd say this person is going to be significantly better. I mean, Shane Steichen's offenses were not, you know, setting the world on fire last year with Justin Herbert. So, you know, I would think that it's not like there's a natural place to go with the staff. I think what you're hoping for is that Nick Sirianni grows as a play caller, or that they just have a better sense of how to use the quarterback.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Zach, when it comes down, it doesn't matter if we have confidence in Nick Sirianni or not. It comes down to the players, as you very well know. And last night, I pointed out early on the show, we saw Jason Kelce on the TV screen wave his hand after a failed screen pass, basically saying, let's stop doing that. Jordan Mailata had some comments last night after the game, talking about the predictability of the offense, I believe. Are the players starting to lose? Are you getting the feeling at all that this is getting frustrating for them of what Nick Sirianni's trying to do?
I haven't gotten the impression that they have lost confidence or are questioning Nick Sirianni as a head coach. Now, you know, as we've said, it's still early, and after losses, there's often frustration, of course, but as far as Sirianni at the head coach, no, I have not seen that. Now, Sirianni the play caller, or take away Sirianni the play caller, the offense overall, right. You know, I do think that there's a lot, you know, there's a lot there in terms of trying to figure out the way to maximize this offense, whether you're talking about the run pass distribution, whether you're talking about where to go downfield, whether, you know, you're talking about the best way to use Jalen Hurts. I still think that's a work in progress here.
Zach, to eloquently put it, this offense sucks, but yet they have apparently 3 to 4 guys, offensive minds, one of them being Jim Bob Cooter, who are getting paid American money to sit there and do exactly what?
What is their job? What are their jobs?
Yeah, that's an eloquent way to put it.
Very eloquent.
Yeah, so I mean, they're getting paid to try to maximize the players that they have, and they haven't done that effectively enough, right? And I mean, I don't know if I will put Jim Bob Cooter high on that list as far as who's responsible for doing so, but you need to start with Nick Sirianni, an offensive head coach who calls the plays, then Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator who is, you know, picked specifically by Sirianni, and someone he has a background with, as opposed to someone who's coming in with a different offensive philosophy or with an offensive philosophy that's kind of more consistent with the type of quarterback that they have. And that's what I'm trying to figure out when I watch this Eagles offense. It seems to me as if they're running Phil Rivers' offense with RPOs mixed in. Like, they're trying to accommodate Jalen Hurts as opposed to building an offense for Jalen Hurts.
I'm trying to figure out, Zach, how Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the team, allowed this youthful coaching staff at all levels to be assembled, and that there wasn't some demand or some leverage to make sure that there was a veteran mind, maybe an ex-NFL head coach, maybe a sage defensive coordinator or something like that, to be brought in. This group's too green behind the ears, and it's being pointed out now on national broadcasts by the analysts like Troy Aikman.
I hear your question. I'm not dismissing it. I think sometimes that can be overstated. You know, just because someone's been a head coach or someone has more experience that they're going to, I want to know what specifically they're bringing to the staff. That said, this isn't an inexperienced staff. And what I'd be more concerned about is there have been repeated mistakes on things that should not be happening. When you look at the penalties, for instance, when you look, there's so much that this team needs to improve that goes beyond simply execution on the field. I do know, for instance, when Doug Peterson was a first time head coach in 2016, Jim Schwartz was helpful as far as having that head coaching experience. That said, I think sometimes that can be overstated. It's about the people you have, not the resumes they have. But this, it is fair to question the composition of the staff when the team is playing like they have, sure, too often this season.
Zach, quick question. Has this team improved in any area since the season started?
Well, I just think they're inconsistent, right? Like, yeah, I would say they've improved in certain areas depending on the matchup. It's just you don't know who you're getting on a given week, right? Like against Kansas City, the offense looked really good. Now, that's a bad defense, but the Eagles were moving the ball downfield well. Then last night, I thought the defense was not the problem. It held Tampa Bay to 28 points, forced punts. They had a takeaway. It's just the week-to-week inconsistency, and you can say that happens, but I need to see more progress from week one to week six.
Are the players getting the weekend off after today?
I would imagine so. I don't have that specifically, but that's usually standard operating procedure after a Thursday game.
What about you? You going to a pumpkin patch? You going apple picking? What's up on your?
Yeah,
you got a weekend off.
So I'm in Vegas next weekend, Detroit the weekend after that, Denver 3 weekends after that. So, my wife gets to pick what we do this weekend. So if that's apple picking, that's her call.
Now, Zach, if we will be getting in touch with you because we will obviously be in Vegas too, bringing the show out there. And we would love to see you and break bread and have a chance to catch up with you. So we'll look forward to seeing you.
That'd be great. Can't wait for that trip.
Thanks,
Zach.
Can't wait.
Zach Berman sitting at the blackjack table at like 3 in the morning.
Shirley Temple's on Kincaid.
He's just saying this is the way to go.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.